And I'm going to preach a couple more of these. And I've been talking about the day of the insurrection, what they called an insurrection. I can debate that. But the day that was such a dark day and for all of us, knowing what our country was headed towards. And I was listening, hearing the word of the Lord, and I came across that scripture in Colossians that said, He is before all things. And those two words just ignited in my spirit, and I wanted to tell, it was like the Lord said, tell the people, let the people know, focus on the fact that He is. Amen? And yesterday, Franklin Graham posted on Facebook that the U.S. Supreme Court ruled in favor of California churches who had sued Santa Clara County over Governor Gavin Newsom's lockdown rules that completely banned indoor services. The 6-3 decision came with the court's liberal justices in dissent. I thank God, this is Franklin Graham, I thank God for our Constitution that protects the right of churches to assemble and worship, and I thank God, hallelujah, for conservative justices on our nation's highest court who will defend the Constitution and our freedoms. Pray for them in their important work. And never before has there been an all-out assault on the gathering of the saints, the church. But I've got good news tonight. Despite the lockdowns and the pandemics and the leftist and liberal activist courts, He is still building His church. I love that graphic up there. He is building it, and I'm one of those brick that He's laying into place. And it might get a little messy because that mud is messy, but God's got a purpose even through the mess. Amen. Would you stand with me tonight and go to Colossians chapter 1, 1 Peter chapter 2, and Matthew chapter 16. I'm going to read a little more scripture than I normally read because I want you to get it in your mind. Those of you watching my Facebook, I want you to hear this message tonight that He is building His church. Colossians chapter 1 in verse 17. If you're there, say amen. Read it out loud with me. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. Tell your neighbor, He is. Amen. In 1 Peter chapter 2 in verse 5, if you're there, say amen. Ye also as living stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. And then over in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 13. And when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples saying, say it with me, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, some Jeremias, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but who do you say that I am? Verse 16. And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Verse 18. And I also say unto you that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will glory, build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Tying in with the sermon this morning, and I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound, glory, in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And then charged He His disciples that they should tell no man that He was the Christ. And by the way, that last scripture I read was for that moment. We are to tell people He is the Christ. And so, Father, tonight, help us to remember that He is. He is working. He is moving. He is baptizing in the Holy Spirit. He is the soon returning King. He is the one who is amazing and mighty. And He is building His church. Anoint your servant to preach tonight, and we'll give you the praise for it. And everybody said amen. And turn around and tell somebody He is, and you may be seated. And I want us to give Jesus a hand of praise tonight. Amen. Come on, give Him a hand of praise. A father was showing his son through a church building. They were traveling, and they came to a plaque on the wall, and the little boy said, Daddy, what's this for? He said, Father, this is a memorial to those who died in the service of our Lord. And on the wall was several pictures of people. And he said, these are a memorial to those who died in the service of the Lord. The little boy scratched his head and said, well, which service, the morning service or the evening service? I hate to say this, but there's a lot of people that are dying right in some of the services, and church services seem to be dying. But in our text tonight, Jesus clearly states he is in the business of building his church. I'm so glad to know that he is building his church. It's really on his shoulders. He has the power. He has the purpose. He has the plan. I'm just a part of it. I'm a co-laborer. I'm an under-shepherd. It is actually he that is working through me, and he that began a good work will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And all over the world, God is building his church. I'll tell you, he's building his church in Russia. He's building his church in the 1040 window. He's building his church in the liberal lockdown states. He is building his church in the frozen tundras of Alaska and in the heated plains of the Sahara. Right now in this world, a Pentecost is happening every single hour, because every hour, statisticians tell us 3,000 people are getting saved. Africa is exploding with conversions, and soon the southern part of Africa is going to carry that mantle as it goes its way back up to Jerusalem. Africa, the African nation is a many godly nations. I'm not like southern Africa, but below the Sahara Desert. And every day, people in South America, 32,000 a day. In China, it is reported behind the bamboo curtain are coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Brother, this thing ain't down. This thing, you can say it's going to be locked down, but I'll tell you, you can't lock it down. God is working. God is moving. And he is building his church. And I'm glad to be a part of it tonight. Somebody give him a hand of praise that he is building his church. He is building his church. And if Jesus is concerned about building his church, shouldn't we be concerned about what he is concerned about? Jesus said, go into all the world. His last words were, go into all the world and make disciples. And his last words should be our first command. Amen. We are to go into all the world. We are to preach the gospel. I heard about a church where it was rumored that the president of the United States was going to come and worship in the assembly. Oh, the word got out, you know. The president's going to be there. President's going to be there. And everybody was all excited about the president coming. The truth of the matter was, he wasn't coming. One lady who'd never been to church or had not been to church for many years called up and she said to the pastor, oh, is it true that the president of the United States is going to be there Sunday? If so, I want to come. And how can I get a reserved seat? The pastor said, ma'am, I'm sorry, that's not correct. The president will not be here, but I've got good news. The King of Kings will be here. And ought that not be good enough for you? My friend, the King of Kings is in Westmoreland and wherever the saints are gathered. And ought that not be good enough for us to come into his house, to lift up holy hands, to glorify him, to praise him, and to be a part of building his church. And I love it that the gates of hell shall not prevail. Somebody say amen tonight. I want to give you three things about he is building his church. Number one, the definition of the church. The definition of the church. The word church, listen, means called out ones. And we must as pastors tell you and explain to you that yes, we can use virtual meetings. They are very beneficial to those who are shut in, who cannot attend church. Very beneficial if there is inclement weather or even serious pandemics where there is serious concern for life. There is also wisdom with God and the gathering of the saints. However, if the church is never intended to be a virtual gathering on computer screens and laptop screens and Facebook Live, that is a benefit or a help, but the term church literally means you've come out. What does it mean, come out? It means you've come out of your job. You've come out of your kitchen. You've come out of the living room with the 85-inch Sony television. You've come out of the highways, and you've come into a place, a literal place. And it is not a social club. It's not an organization. The church is an organism, and it's living and breathing and alive. He is here. Hallelujah. He is here. Amen. He is here. Holy, holy. I will bless his name again. And when we gather in his name, the king shows up. And ought not that to be good enough for you? Why don't you give the king a praise here tonight? You see, there are two aspects to the church. There is the invisible church, and there is the visible church. One, two. There, and you cannot have one without the other. And I'm going to say some things here, and you may disagree, but look at James chapter 2, verse 26. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead. You have to have body and spirit. Say it with me. Body and spirit. You have to say, there are people who say, well, all we need is the spirit. But if you don't have the body, you're going to die. You see, without the body, you can have the spirit, but it takes the body to win souls. It takes the body and the spirit to have revival. We need both the visible and the invisible. I'm going to say it again. We need both to be the true church. We need the visible and the invisible. And you've always, and I've been a pastor 25 years and in ministry longer than that. I preached my first sermon when I was 15, and it was Pentecost, been a Pentecost all my life. I've heard those people that make statements like this, these hyper-spiritual ones, to say, I'm not for organized religion. I'm the member of the mystical body of Christ. I haven't joined a local church. I'm much too spiritual than that. Oh, you've heard that, haven't you? Well, listen, it's either pride or it's either ignorance. Because the truth of the matter is, you can't be a part of the invisible church and not be a part of the visible church. No more than you can have Ricky without my heart and my lungs and the blood flowing through my body. Now, Ricky is Ricky without this body. I'm going to heaven one day. Amen. But I'm here to tell you tonight, if that heart stops beating or if my lungs start breathing, Ricky ain't here. Ricky gone. Amen. And I don't care how much you say you part of the invisible church, you better get somewhere where there's a wall and some lights and some carpet on the floor and lights on the street. You got to have the body and the spirit. You got to have the building and the people and all, you know, that little kids thing where it says when they all come inside and open up and there's all the people. Ain't it? Y'all remember that? Come on, Sister Carolyn. I know you know that. I know you did that in Granny's church. Friend, don't come up and say, well, I just float around and I'm just part of the invisible church. You also must be part of a local assembly of people where you can not only be a blessing, you can be blessed and highly favored of God. Oh, he is building the church, and you need to be building a church with him. Can I get an amen? You see, in heaven, we'll have both. We'll have the visible and invisible. John said, I saw a multitude that no man can number. Come on. And there was the mysterious invisible church, but it was manifest in those multitudes of people that no man could number. By the way, out of every tribe, out of every tongue, out of every nation. You need to understand true Christianity, biblical Christianity, defeats and is against racism. Because we're part of the God who made us all. Amen. You see, let me describe some things about the church. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 14 says, you are the light of the world. Somebody say, light of the world. Song of Solomon 6 and 10. Song of Solomon 6 and 10 says, who is she that looketh forth as the morning, fair as the moon, clear as the sun, and as the word terrible really is a better translation, as and awesome as an army with banners. So here the church is described as the light of the world and as an awesome army with banners. Oh, in Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, take heed therefore unto yourselves and unto the flock over which the Holy Ghost have made you overseers. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify it and cleanse it with the washing of the water of the word, that he might present it to himself, what? It's hard to see. A glorious church. Yeah, I know it's hard to see on that white and in the small text there, but that he might sanctify and cleanse it, that he might present to himself a glorious church. So here's what the church is. If you want to know the definition of the church? It is the light of the world. Shut the churches down and you've put out a lot of light to this world. I know God is building the church in the 1040. By the way, what is the 1040 window? Some of you may not understand that, but you know there's longitude and latitude. I might have had it wrong. This is longitude and this is latitude on the globe. You know what I'm saying? And how you can, you know, coordinates. But from 10, the equator is zero. And if you'll go 10 degrees up on longitude, and if you'll go 40 degrees south on longitude, it covers North Africa. It covers Saudi Arabia. It covers India. It's called the 1040 window. It covers China. And many, 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 many people in that 1040 window cannot have church, are forbidden to have church. And because of government and policies and politics, they can't serve. And so there would be more people saved if the churches were able to be free and open. The devil has got the 1040 window. If we're not careful, they're going to make America like that and going to shut us down because we don't accept the agenda that they have. But my friend, I want you to know we are the light of the world, and we are an army awesome with banners. We are the flock. Somebody say the flock. Oh, we are purchased by his blood. We are Ephesians, the glorious church. We are the body of Christ, and I'm here to tell you, sounds like to me the church is essential. He is building his church. Would you give him a hand of praise tonight that he is building his church? Which brings me to my number two point. Not only the description of the church, but number two, I kind of built it up and mentioned it, but let's talk about the obligation to the church. Because if it's his church, we ought to make it a priority in our lives. Let me repeat that. These people that say, well, I'm saved, and you never see them at church. Now, I'm not talking about people that have genuine problems. I'm not talking about people who genuinely have to work. I have been a pastor 25 years, and I've had people say, Pastor, I want to be able to be at church. I just cannot be at church. But I'm not talking about people with legitimate reasons who can't be here. Now, maybe some of you sitting out here tonight, just like Sister Julia, that has had struggles, and we've dealt, most of us have dealt with the COVID. I know it's hit our house. Me and my wife both have had it, and praise God, we're recovering, have recovered fully. And so I understand there are legitimate times, and God is a God of grace. And just because you're not able to make it to church doesn't mean you're a second-class Christian or that God doesn't love you. But I'm talking about on the normal, healthy basis. Y'all with me? People talking about, well, I'm saved, and they only go to church like once every month. Then I want to tell you something, my friend. If you've really given your heart to the Lord, and he's really come into your heart, you can't help but want to be at church. There's a reason people don't want to come to church. Sometimes the preaching is too hard. All right, I'm glad I'm the associate pastor now. So you can call a lead pastor tomorrow and complain. Amen. But people like, well, I don't want to go to church. Why not? Well, the preacher, you know, he gets all in my business. He's supposed to get into your business. Well, I don't appreciate him doing that. Well, let me tell you something. The true preacher is preaching out of this book. And this book is the one you're going to have to answer to. And the Bible says, I'll give you pastors after my own heart who will feed you with knowledge. And I'll tell you, if the pastor's reading your mail, you don't need to quit going to church. You need to keep coming to church and get to the altar. Amen, somebody. Oh, somebody praise him. We have an obligation. Amen. People talking about I'm saved and you don't ever see them to church, but once every 2 or 3 months or at Christmas or Easter. And I'm like, no, brother, when I got saved, and I was a sinner just as rank as anyone. Now, I won't be 12, and I hadn't done all the terrible, I hadn't done all the terrible things that young people do, but I was headed that way, and it was in my mind to do it, I promise you. And I knew that I needed to be saved. I said, I'm gonna put it off till I'm 18. I'm gonna put it off till I'm older in life. And no, sir, I tell you, conviction hit my heart, and I said, you know what? I'm gonna give up the party, I'm gonna give up being cool, I'm gonna give up all of the fun things of this world. I need Jesus. Please forgive me. I surrender all, and I could not wait to be at church. Church used to be boring. I used to sit there and just nod and like, when is this thing going to be over? And I went instantly to like, I can't wait to get there. Oh, my friend, if you've been saved, you're going to want, there's going to be a want to. And so if you're not really wanting to be in church, then maybe we need to check it out and make sure we're, because he is building his church, and I want to be where he's at. You see, the truth of the matter is, and our pastor has said it correctly in many ways, the lockdowns, the pandemics, the activist courts have been an assault on the church. But I'll tell you what will really destroy the church is, where have you been in church? Where have you been? Where are these seats empty? Where are our people that were here this morning that are not here tonight? Now, I'm not telling you you've got to be at church three times a week. That's not what I said. I'm not telling you that, again, there's legitimate reasons to be out. But I'm not talking about on Sunday night or Wednesday night, because I understand we're all busy. We've got families. And the Bible doesn't say you have to be at church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. I'm telling you, the Bible doesn't tell you you have to do that. But every Sunday, the Lord's Day, we're to be in God's house. And so why are people not coming to church? Why are people they take trips, they do this, they got ball, and they've got all of these things. There was a time that you would never see children play ball on a Sunday. There was a time when Kmart won't even open on Sunday. I remember the blue laws. Come on now. I mean, the only thing open was the hospital and the gas station. And you'd better not even try to buy alcohol on Sunday. And can you, now let me ask you this. Do you think our times are better since all of this has been? Now, is it a sin to be open on Sunday? Is it a sin to go to Best Buy and buy a TV on Sunday? No, it's not a sin to do that. But I will put it to you this way. I think I might would prefer to buy my TV on another day. You see, there is to be a day in our lives where we go to church 11 to 12. Well, why not sometime else? You got a full day. Why not read a spiritual book that day? Why not cut off the TV that day? Why not say, I will not go shopping that day? I'll take care of my shopping on Saturday or Monday. Now, I'm not trying to be legalistic. Please understand, I am not a legalist. I'm not telling you if you go to the grocery store on Sunday that you've sinned. You've not sinned. There are times when you have to go on Sunday. You cannot go on Monday. I know it is. My wife works 60, 70 hours a week as a school teacher. I have myself worked at many times at Best Buy 40 hours a week, plus with the church duties, plus with other duties in the conference. I know what it is to be busy. I know. Please hear my heart tonight. I'm not being a legalist, but I'm telling you, get it into your mindset that church is not incidental. It is fundamental. I will be in God's house. I will take a day to the best of my ability and render worship to God, rehearse the doctrines of the church, learn in Sunday school, read a book, watch a television program with a great preacher. And by the way, don't substitute preachers on TV for church down the street. People talk about, well, I'm not attending church. Why are you not attending church? Because I'm watching John Hagee on church. I love John Hagee. And I praise God that he's preaching the truth. And he preaches the rapture. And I appreciate his son, Matt Hagee. And I've been to John Hagee's church. And I've met John Hagee. And no finer man than John Hagee. But I'm here to tell you, there's two problems with that. Number one, you're needed in a church. John Hagee don't need you. It's too far to San Antonio. He doesn't need you. He's got 15,000 people. I'll tell you who needs you. Westmoreland needs some greeters and some ushers, and we need some workers and kids workers, and we need somebody here. Come on now, help me preach here tonight. And number two, you send your tithe to John Hagee if you want to. But I'll tell you something. We'll be there to help you if you have a need. I promise you, because you don't have to tithe for us to help you. Bless God. We help people whether you give or not. Amen. You might not know that. But I will tell you this. John Hagee's not going to be there when you need him. You're going to think you call John Hagee and ask for advice. You think you're going to get John Hagee and ask for counsel. You think John Hagee's going to come when your mama's sick and got a fever. I know who will come. Jerry are announcing Richard E. Nelms. Oh, somebody help me preach. We need a local church. The reason you got a TV preacher is because he ain't reading your mail. That's why. Man, a preacher knows too much about me. That's right. I know about the people in this church. I know what you're going through. I know how the devil's trying to tempt some of you. I know what you struggle with. And it's a good thing that I know some of that. Some people are like, well, I don't want to know all the people's problems. I do want to know the problems of the people that I serve and minister to. I'm a shepherd. And a shepherd knows the hurts of his sheep. And the shepherd knows the sheep by name. And true shepherds will love you. And if they see you, if I see you, or Pastor Jerry sees you making a mistake or straggling. By the way, none of this is in my notes. Just want you to know. But if Pastor Jerry sees some of you straggling, then it is our duty. Just like a doctor, if he sees a spot on your arm that's a cancer, and he must tell you about it, neglected his oath of, you know, doctors take an oath as well. We preachers should have a greater oath, and that is to the for the souls of men. And not only are pastors ought to be concerned about the people, how about you in the pew? Look across this church tonight. Who's not here? Why don't you check on them? Well, the pastor needs to visit. The pastor needs to call. And he does. And we do. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. And, but we are to shepherd one another. We're to provoke one another into good works, the Bible says. If there's a brother or sister, you see them at Best Buy or see them at Food Line, hey, where you been? I've been missing you. Put them on the spot. Make them answer for why they're not at church. Hear their excuse, and give them a reason why, hey, that, I understand. We give compassion, but the devil might be trying to trick you. Why don't you come on back this Sunday? We got Kenny Williamson. And by the way, Pastor Jerry's on fire. He's on fire. Come on here, Pastor Jerry. And Pastor Ricky, oh, we need to pray for him. But come on anyway. Have I said anything wrong tonight, church? We got an obligation. We got an obligation. We are to forsake not. Look at Hebrews chapter 10. And I know preachers like, we're going to hear that. And y'all ought to, by the way, I'm really preaching for the folks watching on Facebook, because you on Sunday night are very faithful. Amen. But Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. And let us consider one another. Do we consider one another? To provoke one another into love and to what? Good works. If you tell me that you're moving in with somebody and you're not married, I'm going to talk to you about that and say, as a Christian, you should not do that. Because why? It's a sin. Sex outside of marriage is a sin. And the last I checked, if you die, your heart stops beating, a tornado comes through, you die in a car wreck on Ward Boulevard, and you have slept around, you're not going to make it to heaven. And I don't want you to go to hell. I'd rather embarrass you temporarily. I don't want to shame you, but I'd rather rattle your cage than for the devil just to lure you. But I'm telling you, there's people that are living together. They think it's okay to live together. It's not okay for people to live together. And I'll tell you something else. If you've got children and you've given them a house and they don't pay rent, and you give them a house and they're living together, you're sinning too. Now, I know that's controversial. Well, I'd rather have my child at home. Here's the deal. That house belongs to you, which actually doesn't belong to you. It belongs to God Almighty, who gave it to you. And do you think God is approving of a man and a woman, or a woman and a woman, or a man and a man? Do you think God is approving of sin? Folks, we've got to get back to preaching against sin. I know it's uncomfortable. I know it's not popular. But I see so-called Christians that think they can come to church and lift their hands and go home and sleep around, and then Christians who allow their families to live in sin right under their nose. I'll tell you something. If God blessed me with two houses and I had a child, and I know I don't have a child, I know I can't talk about it, but I can tell you this. This is what I plan to do. You want to stay in my house? I'll let you stay in my house, but you're not going to shack up, because I fear the Lord and I don't want to die and go to hell, and I don't want you to. Well, I'm going to live together somewhere with them. Well, fine. Go somewhere else and pay rent for it, and I'll still love you anyway. Come on, can I get a witness out here? Excuse me, I'm going to amen myself. Amen, Brother Ricky, you're doing good tonight. My God. Come on, people. Come on, people. We have got to understand that we've got to hold each other accountable in love. In love. We've got to repent of sin. And we've got to consider one another and provoke to love and to good works. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another and so much the more as you see the day approaching. By the way, God has a plan for sexual expression. It's called marriage. And until, listen, hear me tonight on Facebook. I feel the Lord speaking to somebody. Until that man or that woman says, "Will you marry me?" And until you go before a preacher or the justice of the peace, and until you have witnesses and a piece of paper, well, let's get a piece of paper. Let me tell you what else is a piece of paper. The Bible is written on a piece of paper. Those pieces of paper, the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence, I saw it in the National Archives, the original Declaration of Independence that said, whatever, I can't remember what it says now, but I saw it. Guess what it was? It was a piece of paper, bless God. You get that marriage license, and when you've made that vow in front of those people, brother and sister, after you've done that, enjoy all the sexual expression that marriage affords. The marriage bed is undefiled. Praise God. It's wonderful. Y'all looking at me strange now. I know. Well, I'm 75. I'm 85. I don't care. God will give you joy in your older days. Hallelujah. Come on now. I tell you, Christians, it's a wonderful thing to be married. And ladies, wait till that man commits to you. Wait till they say, "I love you and I will wait for you." That's a man that will be with you when you're old and have to be pushed around in a wheelchair and can't sleep together. But they'll say, "I'm still with you." Praise God. Somebody give the Lord a hand of praise. We've got to live it. And any other sexual, I'm going to repeat it until it gets out of my spirit. Any other sexual expression, pornography, yielding to lustful thoughts, living together, sleeping. Well, people say, "Well, we're living together, but we're sleeping in opposite beds." I'm sorry, that doesn't cut it. If you are a normal human being, and there is a real devil, I promise you, you might intend to sleep in separate rooms, but it won't stay that way 99.9% of the time. And besides this, you can't prove you haven't done it. Well, that's the point. The Bible says avoid the appearance of evil. I'm not going to have a Budweiser sitting on my front porch in my house and say some kind of stupid thing like, "Well, I don't drink and I don't believe in drinking." We got a Budweiser can sitting out there on your front porch. Prove, what's it doing there? Did somebody just put it there? Well, you know, it didn't just get there by itself. And by the way, I was living in Lamb Road one day, and, you know, it's a very heavy traffic area, and somebody did throw a natural light into the driveway of my car, parking lot. And that was you, brother. With mercy, walked in. Hallelujah, somebody. Look at this, and I'm going to come to a close. We stop here. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. Now, we preach that. We quote that. But go to the next scripture. "For if we sin willfully, after that we receive the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment. And fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries." Brother, that's tough stuff. One party saying, "Don't forsake going to church." The next part says, "Because if we do sin willfully." What is sinning willfully? Forsaking church. Forsaking church is the fruit, because the root is you're really forsaking God. You can't say that you love God, but don't love His church. Now, how would you like to say, "Brother Ricky, I love you, man, you're the greatest thing, but I don't like Sister Darnell. You have not flattered me. You have actually insulted me." And to tell Jesus, "I love you, Jesus, I praise you, Jesus, but I just don't like that crowd down there on Tillman Road." You've just insulted the bride. You are the bride of Christ. Don't talk bad about His bride. Don't talk bad. Now, if my wife's got a genuine problem, let me know. We'll pray about it and we'll work together. Amen. That is how you approach it. Amen. Can I get a witness out there? Hallelujah. Nobody's perfect. And if you go to Darnell and say, "I love you, Darnell, but your husband, Ricky, boy, he's got some problems." Well, if you do it in the right spirit, we'll make it right. Amen, somebody. But generally speaking, we cannot say we love our Lord and not love His bride. Somebody say an obligation. Somebody say the description. And then finally the mission. The vision or the mission of the church. The church is to be moving forward. The gates of hell, he said, will not prevail. He's not saying that the church is a fortress and hell can't get in. He's saying that the church is an army, terrible with banners, or awesome with banners, and that hell can't withstand. Do you understand that? You see, what he is saying is that not that we're behind closed doors and hell is battering us trying to get in. That's not what he's saying. No, he's saying that we're on the outside taking territory and banging the gates of hell, and they will not prevail in the 1040 window. We're going to send missionaries undercover there. They're not going to prevail against Governor Newsom in California. The gates of hell is not going to prevail under Joe Biden or Kamala Harris. The gates of hell will not prevail if we will rise up, forsake things that are dragging us down, clean up our lives, love the Lord, be passionate again, have revival, go all in for Jesus. And I promise you, it'll be a glorious church. And during these pandemic days, we could take the very gates of hell. And you talk about healing, brother. COVID-19 with the vaccine. I've got vaccine, but now there's a new strain, and then there's another strain. Let me tell you, there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners beneath that flood and lose all their guilt and stains. Brother, we have the cure for cancer. We have the cure for COVID. We have the cure for heart disease. His name is Jesus. Would you stand with me tonight and let's praise him in his church. Let's bless him in his church. Let's thank him in his church. Let's move forward in the church. Let's worship. Let's learn the Bible. Let's fellowship. Let's go all in for the Lord. Let's renew ourselves through the church. Let's say, Pastor, I'll be here. I'll not only be here, but I'll help you. What do you need me to do? Oh my goodness, there's a work to be done. You don't have to be a talented singer to do something. There is so much to do, and all we've got to do is be a part of the greatest show on earth. You know, you thought Barnum and Bailey had the greatest show on earth. Well, you say this isn't a show. No, it's not a show, but I tell you what, God will show up, and we have the greatest show on earth, when lives are changed and souls are saved. I was reading, and pastor's coming. I was reading in 1917. 1917, the year of the Russian Revolution. It said the churches were having a meeting during 1917. The churches were having a meeting, and they were debating. And what they were debating over was whether to use candles in the service. Amen? So while they're debating on whether to use candles in the service, the Bolsheviks are taking over. And I'm afraid if we're not careful, we might be debating over stuff that really doesn't make a difference while those liberal agendas are taking over. But it's not going to happen. Amen? How many of you are going to be part of the church, of the army, of the flock, of the bride of Christ? Come on, lift your hands and praise him tonight. Amen. Amen.
Can we end with that song, "I Was Glad When They Said Unto Me"?
Amen.
We're leaving church, but I like this song. It said, "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord." There are more people, pastors now, posting on Facebook, encouraging people to come back to church than I have seen in a long time. And I know why that's happening, because our nation is being threatened. And what we're doing here right now, if that bunch of left-wingers up there get their way, they will shut the churches down. But I intend to come to church. I intend to preach the whole gospel. And if it costs me, I've already fought one war, and I'm not afraid to fight another one. Hallelujah. God needs some people with some spine, some pastors that will stand up and just tell it like it is. Hallelujah. Let's sing.
I was glad when they said unto me,
glory.
I was glad when they said unto me, I was glad when they said unto me, come let us go into the house of the Lord. I was glad when they said unto me, I was glad when they said unto me, oh, I was
was glad when they said unto me, come, let us go into the house of the Lord.
Well, tune that thing down a little bit lower.
I was glad when they said unto me, I was glad when they said unto me, I was glad when they said unto me, come, let us go into the house of the Lord.
So glad.
Oh, I was so glad. So glad. So glad.
Oh, so glad. Hallelujah.
Oh, I was glad when they said unto me.
Tell your neighbor.
I was glad when they said unto me. Oh, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. So glad, so glad,
so glad,
so glad,
so glad,
so glad,
so glad,
so glad.
Hallelujah.
Oh, I was glad when they said unto me, I was glad when they said unto me,
oh, I was glad when they said unto me,
come, let us go into the house of the Lord.
Let us go.
Come, let us go into the house of the Lord.
Let us go.
Come, let us go into the house of the Lord.
So glad.
So glad.
So glad.
So glad.
So glad.
Glad when they said unto me,
I love church.
I was glad when they said,
I love God's people.
Me.
Hallelujah. I love my Lord and my Savior. Said, I'll build my church in the gates of hell. Till I prevail against them. So glad.
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 So glad. Glad when they said unto me, I was glad when they said unto me, I was glad when they said unto me, come, let us go into the house of the Lord.
Let us go.